Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Monday to you. We're back from Bob's Bar and talking Bradley Beal to the Suns. It's the best of the DA show now.
We had listeners come in from Vancouver, come in from Oakland, California, come in from South Carolina, drive in from Alabama, drive in from Michigan. People are blown away. So what a tremendous show of loyalty and support from the D'Aliens. We all were so thankful that you guys did that. Hopefully we put on a show for you. Hopefully you felt welcome and had a good time, and hopefully bigger and better in 2024. But boy, oh boy, was that an incredible day all around. All of the guys that showed up from the network, Boyle and Gelb, and the list goes on and on. Everybody just was blown away by the listeners. Bob and Nancy were amazing as well. Katie Linedahl. Everybody just was blown away by the show of support and of loyalty and of just friendship. It was really awesome.
Wow!
And by the end of it, after we were off of the air and had to clear out Bob's Bar, it was all so ugly. It was also what you might expect after 8 hours of open bar and people beginning at 6 a.m. It was just as gruesome as you do imagine. And so we were peeling people off of the ground, awaiting the rains that came and then said, well, you don't have to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here.
This over.
Last year's Bob's Bar ended at midnight after a Rangers playoff game, and that's when things got a little crazy. This year, it got crazy by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe earlier, which goes to show you the tone was set early. And I can only say that while Mraz had the best intentions, he perhaps laid the groundwork for a worse day for himself. When he gave you the bat signal, hey, Start early, don't wait for us. At 6 a.m., have your first, get after it. It set him up for an early peeling people off of the sidewalk kind of afternoon.
Never saw 8 p.m. bedtime for me coming.
Never. By about 2 o'clock, it was, whoa. This got ugly real fast.
I was never more thankful for rain.
We needed the rain that came through on Friday afternoon to wash away our sins. The forecast was amazing. It broke for us. It looked like it was going to be overcast, maybe some light showers in the morning, some rain. Instead, it was beautiful, partly cloudy, but mostly sunny, warm temperatures, especially in the sun. It was gorgeous all morning, perfect throughout the day. And then at about 3 o'clock or so Eastern time, the rains came through and it washed away our sins, and we needed that badly. Okay, everyone go home. So more on the Bob's Bar show as we make our way through the morning, but the story in sports from the weekend that it was is Bradley Beal. Beal, the multi-time All-Star, scorer from the Washington Wizards, who the last 5 years has played in a team that has never been above 500. Zoinks! Imagine 5 straight years of a losing record. Now imagine the Washington Wizards. Oh, They finally pull the trigger. They trade Bradley Beal. They trade him to the Phoenix Suns. And now the Suns have a host of massive contracts and nothing else. The Wizards get to press their reboot button. They get to shed themselves of that salary. They trade for Chris Paul and his expired contract. And so I'm sure they'll move on from him. And now they get a clean slate. For the Suns, does this make Phoenix the NBA's best team? It is where we begin your cold open.
I think this deal was about putting the ball in Devin Booker's hands as essentially being the lead initiator on the team. Straight up. When Chris Paul was there, it wasn't really something they could do. Chris Paul was on the ball all the time. And you look at the moments where the Suns have looked the best, I think, over this little cycle since they've had Kevin Durant. To me, it's when Devin Booker has been the point guard, has been the initiator, has been the guy that runs the show. I think that's what this is about more than anything. And now you have Bradley Beal's a tremendous off-ball scorer, Kevin Durant, who's a tremendous off-ball scorer. You maintain DeAndre Ayton. We'll talk about him momentarily. I think that that's the key of this more than anything else.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was NBA writer Sam Vecenie from The Athletic. So that makes sense. You take the ball out of Chris Paul's hands. You put it in Devin Booker's hands. Chris Paul is... had his effectiveness wane over the last couple of seasons. Certainly last year looked like a washed version of CP3. And now you've gotten younger and you've gotten more productive from a scoring output standpoint. Now it's about Beal, KD, and Devin Booker. And the reason I can't put DeAndre Ayton in that conversation at the moment, even though he's under contract with the Suns, is... will the Suns decide to keep all four of those guys under massive deals? Because if they do, literally, the rest of the roster has to be veteran minimums. You might ask yourself, how the hell do the Phoenix Suns have the money under a salary cap system to have Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton, and now Bradley Beal? And Beal is the fourth highest paid player in the league right now and makes more than $50 million a year. The answer is, that's all you can afford. Again, you literally have to flesh out the rest of the roster. There's four guys under contract. The rest of the roster basically has to be veterans minimum, unless you do deal DeAndre Ayton. Now, we know out of those four guys, Ayton would be the guy that would move. Who knows if he will? There was tension between him and Monty Williams. Monty Williams is out right now. But this is going to be a fascinating offseason structuring for the Suns. They went all in on scoring. They've got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They add Bradley Beal, and then what do you do? Do you do the LeBron-era Heat where it's three big, massive contracts, one or two mid-levels, and then everybody else takes the veterans minimum just in hopes of winning a championship? Or do you try something nobody has tried before? Four massive contracts, and then everybody else on the roster is making the absolute veterans minimum, and it's a bunch of nobodies. Can you survive that way? Which is why would I say that the Phoenix Suns are the best team of the NBA? They have the most star power in the NBA, but I don't think necessarily they're the best team. I think they're one of the best teams. I certainly think that if you have to kind of scale the best three to five teams with a chance to win a championship of the NBA, the Suns are on that short list. No doubt about it. But let's also remember this is not the perfect roster because there is some duplication between the types of talents and scoring that these guys have. I mean, both Booker and Beal prefer to be an off guard, prefer to, you know, be a shooter, prefer to get their shots up and be one of the epicenters of the offense. And then you have a guy like Kevin Durant that, again, is kind of the same type of player, wing player, perimeter player, swingman type players that need a lot of shots to be productive. These are guys that are redundant in how they play and where they'll play on the floor. Now, in today's NBA, you can have a bunch of positionless players. and you just want the most talent on the floor, and the Suns will have that on most nights, assuming these three guys stay healthy. But it is not the perfect roster, let's face it. And the Denver Nuggets, until further notice, have to be considered the best team of the NBA. They didn't get by on a lark. They didn't get by on luck. They got by because they have the league MVP, or one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA, who does that every single night. And for as good as Booker and as good as Kevin Durant are, neither one of them are the all-around threat right now to be a triple-double machine every single evening that Jokic is. So the Nuggets are still the best team in the NBA until further notice. And the Suns have put themselves a little bit higher in the conversation with the addition of Beal, but I don't think it makes them the best team of the NBA. And I think there are still questions to be had about how they flesh out the rest of that roster. Also, Bradley Beal's 30 years old, and Bradley Beal has four more years left in this contract at a lot of money, which we talked about last week. That's a big, fat contract you've got to inherit for a while, because the reason that they didn't get much for Beal is that there wasn't a lot of takers for Beal. He's making $50 million over the next three seasons, so that's $150. Then he has a $57 million option in year four, which you would assume he takes. So you're on the hook for 4 years at more than $200 million for Beal, who is a very good player, but he's not an MVP candidate. He's made an All-Star game three times in his career, but he's not every single year an All-Star. He's a good player, but he's not one of the five greatest players in the NBA, which is how he's paid right now. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Can I just say this about Friday's show? I think Zach Gelb had himself a day. Gelb, who has been poked and prodded here on the show by us and the listeners, who has played a good frenemy for Mraz, a good foil slash rival. I think Gelb showed up early. I think he performed. I think he displayed. He had a good attitude. He was into it. He did a good job with the cars. His heart was in it. His attitude was positive. And then spent the day with the listeners, having drinks, having a good time, having laughs.
Whoa!
He pours the entire bottle of baby oil on Pat Boyle for the oil boil segment. And at the end of the day, I think everybody at that party had a positive experience with Zach Gelb. I think that was a huge moment for Gelb in CBS Sports Radio history.
5 minutes before you just said that, I turned to Pete. I said, Gelb was great on Friday. He was. I was shocked. I wish that we weren't in there, that I could watch him physically park these cars. But the amount of people like, no, handed Gelb the keys. He waited on that front lawn and just kept parking for at least that first hour and a half. It was incredible, with the right attitude. And yeah, he played to the crowd. He was like a wrestler out there, even with the baby oil. I thought Zach had himself a day.
He made a $50 tip from somebody,
which is so funny.
Amazing.
Holy smokes!
So funny.
But last year, Bob's Bar served as a redemption story for Peter Schwartz. I don't think Gelb needed a redemption story, but it certainly, if last year was about Caserta and Schwartz getting to the next level, this year was about Gelb and Boyle getting to the next level.
I just wish Dixie Landan could have been there to understand why Gelb. But remember that big fight about Gelb doing picks? Friday was the payoff on why it was perfect that Gelb did the picks.
You're right.
Ew!
You're right. There was some resistance early to Gelb taking the spot of Super Dave Friedman in that role. But when all was said and done, Gelb was the perfect guy. And I think if you were there, or even if you listened to the show, suddenly, Gelb became an integral part of the DA Show universe.
He did. The headbands made, too. Those were great headbands.
Yes, they were great. He actually gave little AJ a little gift as well from the Nebraska Cornhuskers football program. So now we'll have to get AJ out to Lincoln Memorial at some point in time.
By the way, our kids can all span the Matt Rhule stops because I got Carolina Panthers stuff for when Peyton was born.
Son, Let me tell you a little bit about a mediocre head coach that manned the sidelines of both college football and the NFL many moons ago. Nobody has uttered his name in many, many years, but let me tell you about somebody named Matthew J. Rhule. Once upon a time, given the keys to the franchise in Carolina and a program in Lincoln. He's not coaching anymore. Right now, he's managing a McDonald's in Omaha. Well, let me tell you all about a guy by the name of Matt Rhule.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back. DA with you here on a Monday morning. You can always check out the show in podcast form, the best of the show or the full 4 hours, including Friday's Bob's Bar Show, available. Simply search The DA Show. Easy as that on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Again, the best of the show every single day or the full 4 hours, always available. Soundcheck begins with Rob Manfred. After 28,000 people, 20,000 more than the season average, attend the A's game last week for the, quote, reverse boycott. Rob Manfred not impressed.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
What an absolute jerk. What an absolute tone-deaf moron. You know, Rob Manfred, and we'll talk more about this coming up here later on in the show, but Rob Manfred has now, I don't know, talked down to, denounced two of the most important things in his sport. Number one, the World Series trophy. Number two, one of his fan bases. One of his fan bases who is trying to save their team. Here he is in a snarky manner making a comment like, oh yeah, okay, great. It's an average Major League night. Well, you do realize, Rob, that one of your buddies, John Fisher, has fielded a minor league roster in a stadium that would be decrepit by minor league standards. So maybe we shouldn't be actually judging A's fans based on major league attendance numbers, but really minor league. And 8,000 might not be bad for, you know, the Fremont Mad Ants. But they don't have a major league product to go watch because you've allowed one of the other owners, one of your buddies, one of your cronies, to steal the team away to go to Vegas by fielding a garbage roster in a garbage stadium. But I mean, even if you think that in your Rob Manfred, If the A's fans are going to lose their team anyway, is there a reason to take a swipe at them? I mean, it's just, he's so clueless. Here is weekend host on WFAN in New York, Joe Beningo, as Jack Stern doing headlines and producing Joe's show over the weekend.
Is Jack a giant Patriots fan too?
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know what football team he roots for. I'm not sure. Jack, who's your football team? Somebody
asked. Eagles and a Jets fan. I think we might have.
Oh,
gone
here we
over
go. Stop,
yeah,
Jack. You've had enough now. That's it. You're done, Jack. Goodbye. Jack, stop, Jack, stop.
I like New York
stop.
Teams first
Jack,
and foremost.
You're taking Brian's time away.
I'm a huge Rangers fan by way of growing up in Brooklyn.
Jack.
And then I'm also a Knicks fan because
brutal.
The Nets did not relocate.
You listen to this, Brian?
Time.
He's an Eagle Jet fan. I think you mind. I think you did tell me that. Okay, Jack, enough now, okay? Go ahead, Brian.
I think he's trolling him.
Now, this comes on the heels of last weekend when Jack said that he was both a Phillies and a Yankees fan.
Yes.
Because he once upon a time went to Shea as a kid. His dad is from Philadelphia, and the Mets fans threw a napkin at him. So he did not feel comfortable being a Mets fan.
Right. He got pelted with a napkin after yelling, "Let's go, Phils!"
That was uncomfortable to listen to. Why did Jack not stop talking when the host says we're done?
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Somebody asked.
Eagles and a Jets fan. I think we might have.
Oh, here we go. Stop,
yeah,
Jack. You've had enough now. That's it. You're done, Jack. Goodbye, Jack. Jack, stop, Jack. Stop.
Like New York.
Stop.
Well, why is Jack continuing to talk when the host says we're done?
Because he feels entitled and is not going to listen to the person technically in power there, and he's going to power right through and give his peace of mind because he's entitled. And we've helped the entitlement along here, around here.
That's an ugly moment. That's a really ugly moment right there. I mean, that's just bad radio. When the host is saying stop talking and the other guy won't stop talking.
A lot of disrespect.
A lot of disrespect.
Right, he went to you for one word and then you just kept rambling on with your life story. Nobody cares. By way of Brooklyn.
I don't think I want to defend Jack here, but that even seems bad for Jack. That's a long time to talk over Joe, any host, but one as veteran as Joe Beningo, is there any way that Jack couldn't hear?
Okay, if he can't hear, shouldn't his comment be shorter anyway? So he can just say the comment and then get out.
It's a good point. Maybe he's just in a talkback mode and he's not hearing Joe say stop. But if that's the case, then he's just got to get in and out with a comment.
Right.
Because who is he to monopolize the entire...
Look, I'll give you an example back here. Like, if my headphone shorts out or his headphone shorts out and we have to go back and forth, it's a short comment to hear you and back here and back and the other way around, you know? So there's ways to do it, and he doesn't know how to do it.
I mean, you can't toss them for one quick answer and then go on for 30 seconds. That's a terrible job by him.
Well, also... Okay, so that's the professional part of things. Are we okay with him having two teams in every sport?
No.
How is that a thing?
No.
I'm an Eagles and Jets fan and a Phillies and Yankees fan?
No, you have your favorite team in every sport, and you could certainly like not hate other teams, and if your team's out and you're like rooting, that's fine. But to firmly like be a fan of two teams? No. In every sport? Why?
I think we should try something. I think when the Jets
play
the Eagles...
Yeah, I know we should try.
Yeah, we should try having him with Knockout Neil next year.
When the Jets play the Eagles in Philly, we should have him go with a Jet jersey and an Eagles hat. With Joe.
I think he'll end up in the parking lot very much banged up.
Tossed right out of there.
Yeah. I'm one of you. Don't throw me out.
And it's broccoli and it's carrots.
That was so awkward. It is getting uncomfortable.
Well, what's also uncomfortable is 5:30 a.m. when Bogus does a lap around the newsroom. Did you get the new Jack Beningo? Like it's a new hit single from Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and it was. That's a hit right there.
How did
Jack,
you hear
Jack,
that?
Stop, Jack, stop.
Like New York
stop,
teams first
Jack,
and foremost.
You killed me.
How'd you hear about this car crash?
I believe Dr. Phil Keto passes along to me via Twitter.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Joe there. Joe has a Hall of Fame career. Joe does not need more agita. Joe needs a producer back at the studio that respects what he has accomplished and makes life easy for him. And here he is with a guy making life hard on him. Talking over him.
Yes, yes.
Talking over him.
Well, was he producing or was he anchoring?
You tell us. You're the schedule maker.
I don't do that schedule.
I don't know.
What schedules do you do? Because somebody else asked you a scheduling question this morning about here, and you like shrugged your shoulders at that as well.
It was, what time was Joey Mac on this weekend? You didn't know. He does the Atlantic League schedule.
I do the
Staffers. Ducks and Ferry Hawks, yeah. Three games late.
The staffers for the CBS Sports Radio Network. So staff behind the scenes.
He's become Kramer. Do you even work here?
That's what makes this so difficult.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Well, I don't know if he was producer. Is it possible producer and update guy are the same person on the weekend?
On this place, it's very possible.
Possibly he's the host.
Yeah.
But Joe might have been his guest, actually.
It's also Beningo.
Is it possible Joe is doing both voices there?
Host, anchor, board op.
Joe!
Engineer. Finally, speaking of one of the greats, Jody Mack was on CBS Sports Radio over the weekend, and Jody Mack has an ongoing bit with one of his listeners where the listener calls up and says, okay, let's rank so-and-so's best song. So here's the latest incarnation.
It's Chick Week here. He's got the top six, in Gary's opinion, go-go songs. Go.
Number one, Vacation.
Right.
Number two, Our Lips Are Sealed.
Our Lips, right.
Number three, We Got the Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Lust for Love. Number five, Head Over Heels. And number six, Unforgiven. Do you like the list?
I do. But there is some derivation for me. I was still writing. What's the last one again?
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. The last two would be Unforgiven and Lots to Love.
Okay.
The other four are all legitimate Stone Cold hits. Right?
All right. I'm listening.
Right?
I mean, honestly, if you asked me to name more than two go-go songs, I would have a problem doing that. I've got to get to their top six. Do they have more than two albums?
I just remember We Got the Beat, but also it's Chick Week on the Jody Mac show.
Yes. As we honor females across... entertainment and sports, it's quote Chick Week.
can't say bras anymore, so it's Chick Week.
What better show to honor them on is on the Jody Mac show?
With, I'm assuming, Jack producing.
Should we hold off until Women's History Month here? Or are we just doing our own Chick Week?
It's Chick Week.
We are honoring women everywhere.
When was the horse racing segment in Chick Week? Was it the second segment?
Vacation, We Got the Beat, Our Lips Are Sealed. After that, I've got nothing on the Go-Go's.
Right.
I think they've got two albums. Pretty sure.
What does Vacation sound like?
Vacation, gotta get away.
That's not helping me, but thank you. Our Lips Are Sealed, I got. We Got the Beat, I got. But after that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We got the beat.
We got the beat.
Yeah! Chicks,
we got the beat.
It's Chick Week here on the Jody Mack Show.
In honor of a filly winning the Belmont. Oh, my goodness. It just dawned on me. I'm not kidding when I say this. The Belmont trainer was the first female trainer to ever win a Triple Crown race. I wonder if that spurned Jody to have Chick Week.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm not making that up. That was a thing.
Well, I know Odyssey is looking to prioritize diversity and respect and a lot of...
Inclusiveness
and a lot of groups. And so I'm just glad that we're doing so by having Chick Week on the Jody Mack Show, which culminates in the Go-Go's top six songs.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Jody listens to the Go-Go's in his car with the Cobb Wawa cup rustling under the seat?
Well, hour number one's about Susan B. Anthony. Hour number two is Rosa Parks. And hour number three is the Go-Go's top six songs. It's Chick Week.
Hour number four, and then there's Maude.
Then there's Maude. We will go over the movement for women's suffrage in hour number three, and then the Go-Go's top six songs
in hour been four. Building.
Right.
The beginning of the Virginia Slims tennis tour last hour.
What says women's equality and the strive for equality here in society more than the Go-Go's having a hit song? Look, even a female group can have a number one hit. How far we've come.
But what do you know?
We'll talk about the WNBA's fight for equal pay, and then we'll do the Go-Go's top six songs. It's Chick Week.
You're welcome, Toots. It's me, Jody McDonald.
Andrew Dice Clay will join us next hour.
Babe Dietrichson.
Sunday had the top five Sheryl Crow songs of all time.
Top six chicks overlooked by history. Number two, Joan of Arc. I really feel like she got a raw deal.
I knew her.
Joan.
Number one, Chick Hearn.
Did a lot of good things.
Chick Corea, number two.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Is anyone listening to Jack shouting down Joe Beningo and Jody doing Chick Week?
I mean, if our station, our network is doing that, I think we are clear. On Friday, everyone's like, you're doing 4 hours non-sports? I mean, that's the least of this company's worries.
Everyone got home safe. Yeah. There were no fires. There was one questionable word from Gelb. Otherwise, that was a great show. We did the Louvre.
And the one that questioned it was the guy that was sleeping behind the pool.
True. Yeah, that was the one rule Knockout Neil has.
Now, this sounds a little too convenient for my liking, okay? Because last week, Sean McDermott said Stephon Diggs' absence was, quote, very concerning. Secondly, Josh Allen said internally we're working on some things. And then said those things are not football related. Again, I'll repeat. Josh Allen said we're internally working on things and they are, quote, not football related. And so then the day after this is said, the absence is very concerning. Josh Allen, it's not football related. Josh Allen saying there's things I can do better. Through all of that, the Bills come back the next day and they say, nothing to see here. We're all good. We had a good conversation. Boom. And now, the next week, the story is, oh, it was just about play calling. Well, that's very football related. Feels to me there is something at the core here between Allen and Diggs, or Diggs and the organization, or something personal that happened. And that the Bills are going to great lengths to button up and tie up what happened the year, the day before. And what happened at the end of last year when we saw Diggs screaming at Josh Allen on the sideline during that playoff loss. And could some of this be football? Sure, that's wrapped up into things. It's always wrapped up into things when you have football players, football teams, and the undercurrent is, well, you know, there's football stuff in here. So maybe part of it is that Stephon Diggs feels like he doesn't have an ally in Josh Allen. Maybe he feels like Allen wasn't enough of a support system. Perhaps he feels as though the organization has ignored him with some thoughts on the offense. And maybe there is part of this that is the truth, that Stephon Diggs would like to have more of a voice in the offense and a bigger role. And that's possible. But that can't be the reason he sat out OTAs. That is not the reason something like this comes to a head the way that it did. That is something that Stephon Diggs doesn't say, I'm not going to camp today because I want a bigger role in the offense. Those are conversations guys have with their coaches, going to the coach's office, things happen, things are said, yada, yada, yada. When you don't show up and the quarterback says that there are non-football things we got to work through, that's really the crux of it. And I don't expect the Buffalo Bills to come out in public and say one of our stars hates our other stars because X, Y, and Z happened. I don't expect that. But what I think becomes clumsy is when the world kind of gets a sense of what's going on, your own players or coaches start to pull back the curtain on it, and then you go into super PR damage mode and go, no, that's not what it is. It's this, this, and this, and this. Because then it's very unbelievable. I think to a lot of times I watched this happen on a local level when I worked in Miami, Kansas City, and Boston. And I saw how a team would treat a player or a coach up until they traded, cut, or fired that person. And they would protect them. They would gloss them. They would say good things. And then the moment that person was no longer employed, it was, and you wouldn't believe what he did. This happened so often that I started rolling my eyes like, okay, so now what you do is the moment that person is no longer with us, let's convince everybody about how bad he was and why we don't need him around anymore. It's the same type of thing. It's the moment that Diggs and Josh Allen have something bubbling under the surface that clearly is pouring out into the public. It's, oh, no. Everything that you thought is definitely not real. No. We'll leak the truth out there. When you can't buy it, you can't believe it. So I don't believe this story. I don't believe it for a second that the biggest reason of the disconnect is football related and a role in the offense. Not buying that. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. As you probably know by now, the Suns make a big deal over the weekend. They are landing Bradley Beal. The guy is a three-time NBA All-Star. He averaged more than 20 points per game. He was the best player on a bad team in Washington for many years. He finally gets some freedom, gets to go out and play for a good team. However, there is a cost in that nobody wanted a deal for this contract. It is a monster. Beal makes $50 million a year for the next 4 years. He's got 3 years guaranteed and then a player option for the fourth year. You guess what? He's opted in for that player option. He's got 57 million reasons to do so. So to trade for Bradley Beal at 30 years old means you got to pay $207 million over the next 4 years. And if you're the Suns, that is a pretty penny because you've already got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. I think it makes the Suns one of the teams to beat. I think it certainly makes them one of the 3 to 5 best teams of the NBA. I certainly think what we saw this year, last year as well, and the year before, when it went Bucks, Warriors, and now Nuggets, is that there's a group of teams that can win the NBA Finals. It's not a super team or two that definitely is going to run roughshod over the league. Even last year, when the Warriors won, they were not the one seed, and they weren't nearly as dominant as they were during their previous championship runs. They found a way to put it together when it mattered. But I think the Suns are in that conversation by virtue of a deal like this, but I think they were in the conversation even before this deal. Losing Chris Paul is not a big deal because of how ineffective he was last year. You put the ball now in the hands of Devin Booker to make decisions instead of Paul. That's fine. I think the big deal is that if you do add Bradley Beal to this roster, there's just no way to have any depth. This is going to be the ultimate top-heavy roster. And if they keep DeAndre Ayton, again, no exaggeration, they will basically have to have 6 to 7 players of their roster that make the veterans minimum. You're talking about rookies or guys that make absolutely no money. So unless you are just chasing a ring to go to Phoenix, and, I mean, hey, it's a great place to live. Obviously, a lot of free agents like going there. Warm weather, great town, good nightlife, etc. I mean, there's reasons to want to go there, but you really have to find a slew of guys, the expendables, that don't want to make any cash and just want to go and try to chase a ring in Phoenix. You'll have no depth whatsoever. None. And can the Suns do it without any depth? Or do they have to trade DeAndre Ayton to free up that part of the roster and the payroll? That's the big question facing the Suns today. On Friday, the Bob's Bar Show was epic. It keeps elevating year after year after year. It was just awesome. And if you listened, you heard some celebrity liners coming back from break over the course of the show. And these were awesome. They were done by Stephen Murray, who gave us the big baby in the landfill. And he actually came to Bob's Bar. So it's great to meet Steven, and he's done some awesome work for us. He's just a hardcore listener that has offered to help me out and do some fun liners and production and things like this. So this was so great. I wanted to play the celebrity rejoins from last week, from Friday. Why don't we start with Morgan Freeman, okay? Let's start with this one, Morgan Freeman from the Friday show.
Hello, this is Morgan Freeman. You may know me from such projects as Mraz's Inner Monologue and Driving Miss Daisy. At this moment, Mraz is eyeing another breakfast sandwich, and he's distracted. Now he's looking at the donuts. Oh no, he's becoming very distracted. Now he's using a bagel as a coaster. This is bad. Very bad. Welcome to the Bob's Bar Show.
Feels like you really have some gravitas behind it when Morgan Freeman says, welcome to the Bob's Bar Show. It's like, whoa. It's pretty cool. Let's hear Sean Connery now from Friday's show.
Hello, this is Sean Connery, and this hideous collection of rogues and nitwits is just about the saddest group I've ever been around. I need to go mix myself a top-shelf martini to wash the stench of Entenmann's donut holes and spiked iced tea off of me. You asked for it. You got it. The Bob's Bar Show.
One thing I can guarantee you, there was no top-shelf martini that could have been made at Bob's Bar.
A lot of spiked iced tea, though. That
a lot there. Of Arizona spiked iced tea.
There was a martini on a top shelf in the place, but that's it. That's the closest. Is that what
we'll yeah, you were to not it. Drinking that one. And finally, Liam Neeson welcoming us to Bob's Bar.
Hello, this is Liam Neeson, and the four men in this backyard today have a particular set of skills, while sometimes hard to decipher. Those skills include creating 4 hours of incoherent madness each morning, and this is the peak of that madness. Welcome to the Bob's Bar Show.
What I loved about Stephen Murray taking the microphone at the show was he gave us a live Big Baby in the Landfill, multiple live versions of it.
And got a good pop from the crowd when he did.
He sure did.
It was a big reveal.
Big Baby and the Landfill.
Big Baby and the Landfill.
Big Baby and the Landfill.
The live version was really good.
It was. Something will be in analytics later, though. Stephen Murray might have angered a local patron at Bob's Bar.
Oh, really? I got to wait till analytics to get to
that? Well, yeah, unless we take it out of analytics. I'll give Pete something else. So he apparently, in a long conversation with my father, asked another guy, Jerry, there, does he listen to the show? Where is he from? And Jerry said, actually, I'm a local patron, and you're in my seat.
Apparently, Jerry was trying to get his seat back for the afternoon golf and could not get in his seat because Stephen Murray was in his normal stool.
Is Jerry either Cliff or Norm?
Not one of those two guys. Oh. Jerry sits at the end. Jerry showed up by the third hour of the show, was prepared to watch golf all day there. And Stephen Murray was in his stool. So when the locals come to a big event, come on, my stool's taken? And told Stephen Murray, you're in my stool.
He showed up to the Bob's Bar Show hoping golf was on the TV.
Well, he figured the U.S. Open. He knew the show was going on. He's like, at least I'll come a little later. I'll get the U.S. Open in. And couldn't get his stool.
Now, Timbo Slice tweets, D.A., were there any YouTube chatters at Bob's Bar? Because I didn't see any. I only saw Twitch people repping at Bob's. Another reason why Twitch chat is better. Moist Pork also doubling down on this. Good morning, DA. For all the Twitch versus YouTube controversy, I don't recall meeting any YouTube listeners there. Hashtag just saying. Hashtag Bob's 3. So this has been an internal civil war happening within the show walls. Those that watch on YouTube or watch on Twitch and comment. And apparently you can't switch between the two. It's a Sharks and Jets situation. We are a YouTube household. And that's because we don't know where to find the Twitch app. So we've got we have the YouTube app on our smart TVs. So when my wife watches the show at home, she's got the YouTube app. I have the YouTube open on my laptop to be able to watch, or on my phone. I've got that app. I've got nothing against Twitch, but how about Glorious Splat on Friday, okay? One of the famed members of the Twitch comments. And he gave me a bag and said, hey, a couple of gifts for you and for AJ. And I was like, oh man, thanks so much. And I really didn't have a chance to go through all the stuff that people gave me, which was really generous and really nice. And so over the course of the day, Gloria Splat said, hey, can we get a picture? I said, of course. And every time he did, he said, but I want you to open up the gift that I got you. So every time I was like, okay, I'll get there. And, you know, making the rounds, talking to people, thanking them for coming, et cetera, trying to get a little bit of food, getting a little bit of drink. I kept forgetting to open it up. Gloria Splat must have asked me 4 different times, ready to take that picture? But we need what's in that bag. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Finally, I go get the bag. We take a picture. I open it up. And it's a Twitch t-shirt. He wanted me to wear or at least hold the Twitch t-shirt. So, I mean, these Twitch people are insane. And so I don't know the split between the YouTube chats and the Twitch chats. But apparently this was a big stake in the ground, a flag planted like Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma or Ohio State. That this was Twitch territory on Friday's Bob's Bar Show.
Yeah, and I can tell you, Bob did rewatch on Twitch. He said him and my mother figured out how to download Twitch on their TV because I guess he heard people talking about Twitch, and he went back and rewatched the whole thing on Saturday, and he said he was into it. I was told by my mother to tear in my father's eye going back and watching and how much he appreciated those 4 hours.
Wow. Was there a moment that was more sentimental or the whole thing?
The whole thing. He said by the time he got to Boyle's Bacon, he said he was just overwhelmed with emotion at how like crazy it was watching that many people enjoy his bar.
Wow.
So he was apparently taken aback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Where death by salsa is the least of your concerns. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and also on your phone. Stream us using the free Odyssey app. You can pause, rewind, even fast forward. Live radio, you can always listen to the CBS Sports app as well for free to listen to the DA Show. All right, guys. I called a play without any of you guys knowing. Last week, I knew that Boyle was, of course, coming to the Bob's Bar show. We were going to oil Boyle. But I thought that Boyle's buildup of the perfect Canadian bacon and then complete crash and burn before we even knew what the script was going to be, he just quit, left one of the ultimate mysteries in DA Show history. What was the script to the greatest Canadian bacon ever, perhaps? It was like we didn't even get to have it play out and then judge. It was we didn't know what the script was. He got through half of it and then just quit. So I thought this would be so interesting in front of a live audience to know what the missing bacon was all about.
So now me and Pete are officially confused.
I thought he finished it.
No, he quit before the end.
He said that's your Canadian bacon. We got the ending score and everything.
No. I mean when he quit, when he flubbed it on the air live with us the first time.
Yeah, but he still finished out bacon. Like, it's not like the game ended. He said his heart got taken out of it.
No, what he did on Friday was not what he did for the bacon.
It couldn't have been. He had so many Bob's Bar tie-ins. That was not. There was no way he wrote that script a week ago.
No, it was mostly what he. I mean, he did lead in the Bob's Bar stuff, but no, he left a bunch of stuff on the table. We didn't get the full bacon there. He didn't even do a song.
Well, I remember him saying he abandoned the song.
Yeah, no, he abandoned the end of his script.
Okay,
he pulled
that's
the rip
cord. Confusing. Okay, so that's what it meant by missing bacon. I thought he just was doing a redo of the guarantee.
No, there was missing bacon. We didn't get the full performance. So I'm like, do you have that script? Save that script. Now, you're right. He did add stuff into it, play to the crowd. But I wanted him to perform that script as the missing bacon. Because if he didn't perform it there, we would never hear what the missing bacon was and whether or not it truly was a five-winker.
I think you're still clinging on to a lot of what we heard and he threw in the new stuff. I really do. I think you're getting taken for a loop here.
Threw in a lot of new stuff.
Well, he performs it in front of a live studio audience before he goes to get oiled. And when he delivers it, we wait for the bacon judge, the oinks, as Pete gives a 1, 2, 3, 4. Does he get the perfect 5? No, 5, 4.5 oinks. And at that point in time, one of the great visuals ever is Justin in Albany at the bar, waiting with bated breath. What is the score going to be? And when it's not a perfect 5, collapses on himself, loses balance like Craig Elo after Michael Jordan's shot, could not believe that he didn't get a 5-oink, and cries out, no! Oh! So overall, did the bit work, or did I allow Boyle, because I knew if I ran it by you guys, there would be some resistance to it. I wanted the surprise factor, the shock value. Did Boyle get too much grace there to be able to re-perform bacon?
No, and as we would find out later in the day, Boyle deserved that moment pre-registered-wise. But no, I thought it was a big moment because it really got people to pull back closer to the bar because even with the low speakers we had, they wanted to hear everything that he said. And when he went into the Call Me Maybe thing, like kind of not sing-songy it, I heard echoes of Carter Verhaeghe. Like, people were into kind of echoing what he had to say. So I think it was an electric moment.
I think that Boyle loves a crowd.
Yes.
He really likes performing for the crowd. And I kind of sensed he could rise to the occasion in a moment like that. What I really enjoyed, not only Justin in Albany collapsing upon himself because it wasn't a perfect five oinks, was Mraz at first was not happy.
No.
What? There's a hidden bacon? We're letting him do this? There was a real resistance. About midway through, Mraz started to soften. And he had backed up and started smiling and nodding. Like, this is pretty good. That's pretty good. So I think that Boyle, by midway through, had won you over with the missing bacon.
I mean, that's fine. He got the trophy, which was big. He had the big trophy presentation. Look, the crowd enjoyed it. And that's what I realized in real time. When you're watching not just Bogus and DA and Pete, when you're watching a crowd with a glisten in their eye and a smile and a jaw drop, and I see what Pat Boyle had captured America's attention with, how could I not bend the knee at that point?
It was very humble of you to, in your own backyard,
yeah,
to give away the crown of King of the Oinks.
Well, I'm a humble man from humble beginnings. And again, I saw the crowd reaction.
Humble beginnings, yes.
No, I'm a humble man.
You're not.
Plus, it was just a soccer trophy wrapped in bacon.
I was going to say, who was the one that created that?
Glorious Splat.
It was Glorious Splat that brought that
to. He had a Twitch shirt to you. He also gave me bacon toilet paper. Twitch came with Santa's sack.
Glorious Splat bestowed upon Pat Boyle the King of Canadian Bacon Trophy, which was a rec league youth soccer trophy that had bacon wrapped around the center part of
it. But it said, your Canadian bacon king of the oinks.
Yeah.
Fresh black.
But it was a little girl playing soccer.
Incorrect. It's actually Boyle kicking Sean's bald head at Canadian bacon.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now. For your rain forever be salty, whatever it said.
Yes. Your rain shall forever be salty. And it's a good point to bring up about Boyle. Boyle post-game earned most valuable player honors. And it is undeniable. It would be a consensus vote. It was a unanimous vote. We had one person there that was off the rails, hammered, needed to be kind of like settled down. He was trying to, I think, kiss Boyle on the mouth multiple times.
Oh, we got close to tonguing too.
Yeah.
There was a spilling of shots and a bottle of booze that nearly went down and stumbling. It was quite the scene. There was some consternation from Bob and Nancy.
Management.
Apparently, Bob didn't want to take over the grill because a hot grill with this kind of sideshow was not going to be safe. And Boyle put in hours with this person, hours talking him down, feeding him water, being patient, holding him up, sitting him down, going to get water, trying to get him to eat. It was a valiant effort. I told Boyle he had earned a Medal of Valor for that performance. And, he said, hey, no problem, not a problem. I wanted to make sure everybody else had a good time. He said, one of my buddies can get out of control as well, so I've done it before. No worries. But beyond missing bacon, beyond the 4.5 oinks, and beyond oiling Boyle, Pat Boyle got stars. And he did it so that everybody else could have a good time. And every listener there said, I don't know if you noticed this, but Boyle is a man. He's a soldier. And I was like, no doubt. We all noticed this. He gets high marks.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound crazy to the ear, but I am being definitely serious here. If Pat Boyle goes into that club with Plaxico Burress, the Giants win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Not a terrible take.
After what I saw him do with Knockout Neal.
Not a terrible take. What we saw is that Boyle can...
Not a terrible take.
It's not. He can, because DA knows what I'm talking about.
I see your point. Okay.
Well, what we saw from Boyle was... And I told this to the Bourbon Bell. I said, what we saw from Boyle when I went home and gave her kind of the recap was an integrity from Boyle he's a fun guy. He's a good dude. He's a great entertainer, talented. But the integrity was he did something that he wasn't going to get any credit for. And he did it for the best of everybody else.
Well, and I will say this.
It was unintentional, but I received two spits in the face in a row in front of Boyle and when I was trying to handle a situation.
The situation.
Full-blown spit that I had to wipe from my face twice, and he could see I was teetering on angry to...
It was a Bill Romanowski situation?
I'm losing my patience here, and Boyle slid right in, and I got one of these, Shawnee, I got this. And it was 2 hours of hard work from that point forward because I was... I rarely do I get that angry, but it had crossed the line for me.
But let me ask the group this, because before all of that, during the show, Boyle was having fun. Without this situation developing, is Boyle the one that we're taking care of by noon on Friday?
Boyle was having a really good time. He was a couple of drinks in by the time we oiled him up, and he was certainly feeling himself. I got a feeling that Boyle... A, knows how to handle his booze better than the person that we talked about, and B, knew that it was a station situation,
yes,
and he couldn't go that far.
Yes, because I had...
You were hammered yourself, Pete.
No, I was not. No, I was not.
I think we were all feeling good, but nobody was hammered.
Yeah, he had... the Mimosa station was up, and I said to him, hey, remember, you have to be on the air later and whatnot. He's like, don't worry about it. I got it all under control. He knows.
Boyle was on the air later that day?
No, I mean with us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He hosted for Gail.
I was going to say.
No. But he understood.
Yeah.
He understood what he could do.
I'm telling you. What Boyle did on Friday was, you know, what a mama hen does. You throw the wings up to protect the rest of the baby birds for what is happening. And he did it so that everybody else, listeners, us, family, Bob and Nancy, didn't have to do the dirty work. And so that everybody could have a good time. And there is a real integrity that talks about him there.
The terms locker room leader and hard hat guy get thrown around a lot here, easily and irresponsibly at times. Boyle on Friday, locker room leader, hard hat guy.
Now, let me also ask you about Boyle. I got a text from somebody who used to work here that said, I love...
Somebody that I used to know.
I'm just going to say the sentence because we haven't talked much about this aspect. I'm tired of hearing about Boyle's athleticism after seeing him with his shirt off.
Well,
then the follow-up text was, talk about unimpressive.
That was a minor surprise of the day.
Now, did that come from an unimpressive athletic-looking guy?
Yeah, for sure. Good point.
I'll just say it was Joey Waller. Breaking bad news for Joey Waller.
Waller said,
talk about unimpressive. He said, droopy moves, not exactly what you picture with the shirt off.
Coming from a bottle of homogenized milk.
And Otis Miller on Twitch is not going to lie, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Boyle is not in his Northwoods League peak anymore.
Oh, no.
He's let it slip since hardball summer college baseball in Milwaukee.
And he did also prep us for this when he said, what was the most recent holiday that he just went off the rails for? I forget, but he's like, once that
Flag Day?
I mean, benchmark
Saturday.
He said he started drinking and eating everything inside that he was not going to be cut for. No, he took his shirt off. We're like, oh, okay.
That's a Sean defense. I had one bad day of eating and I'm no longer Schwarzenegger.
No, I think he said I got one bad day of eating, so I'm not going to try anymore. Maybe it was Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. He said he ate and drank his way through the weekend.
What's he done? Eat nothing but ice cream since then? I mean, he's not that bad. No, he's not that bad.
He just wasn't cut. We thought we were going to get like a ripped.
No, I mean, when you hear the trials and tribulations of Boyle sending the girls home with the signed baseballs, you just, you know, you expect a little more than that.
Yeah, you want an ab or two, some definition.
Right. To me, it was more body to oil. That's the way I look at it.
You're making him out to be like he looked like Sean.
Well, yeah, no, he was, yeah, what?
Oh, no, I may still trade places with him physically, but I was expecting to feel worse physically when he took his shirt off, and I didn't.
There have been new nickname rumors swirling up. He's just going to be known as Meat from now on.
Boyle is now Meat?
He just looks like a hunk of meat.
Meat.
Not fat, but meat. Just there.
He is Meat. He's meaty. Well, what I thought was good was if he was going to handle somebody who spit in your face multiple times, Mraz, we needed some bulk in there. We needed some mass to be able to take.
We did. Yeah, you could tell those two would shoulder up and square up in a hockey fight on skates for sure. But he was just, he should have gotten that bacon trophy. We just didn't know why yet, and we found out later in the day.
Was the spitting in your face disrespectful, or he was just yelling and talking loud so that he spat?
He got so close to my face that he was like, he went, but it was like he even noticed. He said sorry the first time, then did it again. But it was so much. Like, my face was sprayed. My brother-in-law had to wipe me off with his shirt. And that Boyle was right there. He's like, this is getting out of hand. Like, I told him to stop once, and he didn't listen for the second time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It was the lone ugly incident of the day. But Boyle did, he did God's work, man. He's got my respect forever because you don't ever want to be the dude that has to take away from your own good time because somebody else is having too good a time. And Boyle did that for everybody. So that was really impressive.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Boyle got oil, but now he's taking shrapnel.
I got a text from somebody who used to work here that said, I'm tired of hearing about Boyle's athleticism after seeing him with his shirt off.
Well,
then the follow-up text was, talk about unimpressive.
that was a minor surprise of the day.
Now, did that come from an unimpressive athletic-looking guy?
Good point.
I'll just say it was Joey Waller breaking bad news for Joey Waller.
Pete, what are you doing?
Oh, Waller's taking a
Waller run? Said, talk about unimpressive. He said, droopy moves, not exactly what you picture with the shirt off.
Coming from a bottle of homogenized milk.
And Otis Miller on Twitch is not going to lie, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Boyle is not in his Northwoods League peak anymore.
No.
He's let it slip since hardball summer college baseball in Milwaukee.
And just like Mraz was running out of pages in his fat journal.
He said he started drinking and eating everything inside that he was not going to be cut for. He took his shirt off. We're like, oh, okay.
That's a Sean defense. I had one bad day of eating, and I'm no longer Schwarzenegger.
No, I think he said, I got one bad day of eating, so I'm not going to try anymore. Maybe it was Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. He said he ate and drank his way through the weekend.
What's he done? Eat nothing but ice cream since then? I mean,
like you all have breathed extra life into Bob's Bar.
He's not that bad. No, he's not that bad.
He just wasn't cut. We thought we were going to get, like, a ripped.
No, I mean, when you hear the trials and tribulations of Boyle sending the girls home with the signed baseballs, you just, you expect a little more than that.
Yeah, you want an ab or two, some definition.
Right. To me, it was more body to oil.
You're making him out to be like he looked like Sean.
Well, yeah, no, it was, yeah, what?
Oh, no, I may still trade places with him physically, but I.
Now it's 1-1, and I know why. Wow, man, hey, because I got high. Because I got high.
I was expecting to feel worse physically when he took his shirt off, and I didn't.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Speaking of, your poll question of the day. What was your favorite moment from Bob's Bar? Was it the Belch and Bassa? Was it the Canadian National Anthem? Was it Oiling Boyle, or was it Gelb parking cars? There was a clear-cut winner. And it was not the one I expected. Zach Gelb parking cars with 44% of the vote. Belch and Bassa got 29% of the vote. Oiling Boyle got 23%, and Canadian National Anthem got 4%. Rich tweets in, very, very tough call. Too many that aren't even listed. I went with Oil Boyle, but the Orange Crushes were a close second on my list. Thanks again. You guys rock. Steven Severna Park. I voted Belch and Bassa. Gel parking cars was an honorable mention. He was great as well. And Eric and Nova, a.k.a. Gloria Splat, says, do I have to pick just one? Kind of impossible. If you want to watch the entire four-hour extravaganza or just kind of zip around over the course of today to kill some time, you can. The full show from Friday is archived on YouTube. Just go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there. And watch the gratuitous sex, violence, and everything else in the middle of it. It was something. It was something. And I am very proud to deliver something that didn't quite look like sports talk radio on Friday that had a center of a lot of love. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti, on the wheels of steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good. Be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.